God bless each one of you for a great new year, being close to Christ. If you get a chance to get the koinonia, I got a quote from Charles Spurgeon, an old-time preacher who just prayed for his particular church, that the one he was involved with, that that particular year people would be closer to Christ than ever before. And because of what Christ would mean to them, their doubts, their fears, the things that trouble every heart. You know, we have common troubles and things that are the same for every heart, that they would not be so threatening to us, but that God would prevail in each person's life. And that's what we want for each one here today. So God bless you as you continue to worship. Did want to mention a couple people who have needs. Pray for Bill and Janice Swope as they take care of Janice's dad as he nears death, just trying to be there for him and be an encouragement. And folks facing surgery soon, Ray Petticord, that's Bill Petticord's brother, youngest brother. And he's having a big surgery tomorrow to remove a tumor from his bladder. So pray for Ray and the family. For Adam and Krista Mueller, in Jamaica or in the air? Okay, heading back from Jamaica, short-term mission trip with the taking care of some folks going through a real rough hurricane. So pray for them. They'll be talking a little bit next week about their experiences as a part of worship. Kathy Bourne also having surgery. Betty Kunkel headed for surgery at the end of the month. And nice to have Betty here. Had a rough start this morning, but we thank God for her life. And last night I stayed up till 11:45, midnight. And some of you did also. And the Bible says, what? Confess your sins one to another. If you, if that's not a good thing before preaching. Some preachers stay up till 11:45, you know, sweating over the sermon. I was sweating over the apparent victory that was taken out of our hands as the mighty Steelers fell. But we at 8:30, the service, there was a lot of weary-eyed people there. But God met us and called us to trust and follow Him, for sure. Thank you, Julianne, for presenting. And I know that ministry will grow as different people serve, and you continue to serve. Thank you. I read a true story in the magazine Christianity Today about a young person who wanted to be a missionary. May have shared this with some smaller groups before, but that was on his heart. Wanted to go overseas and just pass on news about Christ. That door was closed to him on a fairly consistent basis. So he became very frustrated and disappointed personally. That was a goal he could not meet. So he began to work in a local church where he was called to. That experience was less than satisfactory. The church was fine, but things began to go in the wrong direction. Came the incredible shrinking churches some of us often experience with less people turning to Christ. And it was a grievous thing to him. So he was on the verge of just not following through with being a pastor. And he got alone with God and pretty much poured out his frustrations. He was angry at himself. He was angry at God. He was angry at people. And he didn't know, you know, what to do at that point in his life with that very good spiritual goal being blocked. Well, during a prayer time, he thought God spoke to him in his heart and just kind of said something that hit him. And it hit me when I read it in that magazine. He felt like God told him this: when will you ever, when will Jesus ever be enough for you? When will Jesus ever be enough for you? That's what he felt like God was telling him in his heart. And as you think of your life and maybe the goals and dreams you have for a new year, or maybe the broken ones you look back on in 2007, or the ones you thought, boy, that really made my year a great year or a bad year, God's Holy Spirit might come to you and ask that question: when will Jesus ever be enough for you? That regardless of what happens to some things that you think are the source of peace and joy in your life, you have Christ, And is there anybody that you would rather have beside him or perhaps in addition to him that could bring you health and life eternal and in abundance? And if you don't accomplish all your personal goals for this year, personal goals that may or may not build God's kingdom, sometimes we have goals that build our own kingdom. And our own kingdom, the Bible tells us, is going to end up in a junkyard. Anything that we don't co-labor with Christ about. We're pretty much wasting our time and spinning our wheels. As I talk to some young people and other people in youth ministry do very much, they often share about how school seems like such a waste of time. And I remember that feeling. And that feeling still comes upon me many years out of school. That time is so short and I don't want to be wasting it. I want to know and experience that Jesus is enough for me. He's sufficient for peace and joy and direction. And the goals that we have to put them before God, because God tells us in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain. And Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So as we live and go through our practical everyday life, there's nothing significant we accomplish apart from Christ. He desires to be the center of our least endeavor and to take that on ourselves as believers. There was another article in U.S. News and World Report, a secular magazine, that talked about Christians in this decade. Just talking about you and me. And the article described what was important to Christians. And it did so in a fairly positive manner. It mentioned these qualities as a representative group of what the magazine thought you and I were into. Number one, Christians were serious about religious practice. They have faith-based initiatives to help people in the everyday life. They are pro-life, pro-family, pro-American. Very good things. They are emotional and vigorous about passing on their message. We do that occasionally well. But who was missing in the article as a secular magazine looked at the church? Jesus was missing. And as the secular world looks at the church, perhaps looks at you and I as individuals, what they come away with is this. Christ is not the center. Christ is not the center of what the folks are up to or into. And God's word would come and tell us something different in Colossians. Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Whether that secular magazine sensed it or not, whether you and I sense it or not about our own lives or our life together as a church, God would come and give a truth, a word to break through what we're experiencing and say, Christ is the center of all things. In him, might Christ have the supremacy in all things? That's God's desire for us. And he can do that for our hearts as we look at a new year. Might he be supreme and the reason we exist, the reason we continue to walk with one another and on our own mission field where God sends us. I remember being real frustrated as a young pastor, sometimes not connecting the dots between Christ being the center and church life itself. Even church work. You know, just because you get a position in church doesn't mean everything makes perfect sense in terms of following the Lord. Coming out of seminary, I thought, boy, within the first year, I know at least 100 people will receive Christ and follow him. I mean, anything less would be lukewarmness. And I remember going to the office and thinking, why isn't my phone ringing off the hook where people are asking me constantly, being barraged by phone calls, how can I follow Jesus better, Pastor? The phone rang for other reasons. And me not being able to understand why that was happening. I couldn't see Christ at the center of just life in the everyday. I wanted to change the answering machine message on the church machine to say, thanks for calling the church. If you're interested in following Jesus, press 1. All other questions, you have reached the wrong number. Thought that would solve a lot of my problems. But, but, But I knew I couldn't do that. And the problem wasn't what was happening around me. The problem was what was happening in my own soul and in my own life. I no longer believed that Christ was the center of everything, even though I could not see Him as the center of everything. And you might say the Lord delivered me from myself and my somewhat pharisaical expectations, began to go back to God and His Word and say, Lord, You said You're the author and finisher of faith. God tells us that in Hebrews. So if something's going to start well and continue on, Jesus is going to be very much involved. I remember that Jesus was the vine, and all life would flow from the vine. So I couldn't give spiritual health to myself, let alone anybody else, unless it had to do with Christ Himself. That's true about you today. Looking for health and life, it would be in the person of Christ. And none could match Him or top Him. In my heart, don't know a lot about astronomy. I'm always hesitant to use these scientific illustrations. But one person said, we need to feel like Copernicus. Copernicus was a fellow who, for the first time in history, along with some other people, said, the Earth was not the center of the galaxy. Spiritually, in other words, all of life does not center around me. I've often prayed, Lord, just let everything center around me, and what a great time I would have. That would be, it wouldn't be well. It would be almost like hell to shut ourselves off from a Savior like that. But Copernicus discovered, oh, the Earth is not the center of the galaxy. The sun is. That big bright light gives life to everything. He's the center and the strength. And we think of our goals or our everyday life. Our hopes for anything has to be built on nothing less than Jesus, blood and righteousness. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote this about Jesus. It's the nature of Christ to be the center. He's the one everything is wrapped around. And everything must come back to Him. You start the year worshiping and daily coming back to Him, walking in His presence. He's the first and the last, and every second in between is governed by Him. How we want to know Jesus' presence all the time. Let Him have supremacy at school, at work, at church, in the world. He says He is supreme, to embrace Him as such. I remember hearing how God touched one family in a great tragedy, and Christ remained the center for them. A 21-year-old young fella was about to be married, named Ed Hartman. His dad is a pastor and I believe just retired. The family used to run Seneca Hills Bible Conference. It's up toward Butler area. I think it was the oldest son in the family, Ed, who I got to know a bit, tragically died in a car accident at age 21 the night before he was to be married. So you can imagine the heartache that everyone was left with. Hundreds of people ready to worship God and to celebrate in a time of worship. Young man and woman becoming husband and wife. The young man gone. And just the heartache everyone experienced. The newspaper did an article about that accident and about how it affected the family. And in a very sensitive, kind way, God was pervasive throughout that tragedy and throughout the article. In fact, I still remember the picture of the fiancé that was in the newspaper. Her first name was Lisa. Couldn't remember her last name. And she just expressed real simply and real briefly, God is at the center of this tragedy in some manner. I don't know how a faith like that can really happen without the intervention of Christ being the center of a person's heart. I know in particular I would have a hard time being able to say that so clearly and so simply. But I know God is real. And He's there at the point of our greatest need. And He could prevail for you and the heartaches you have that are every much as painful. and difficult for you as it was for that one particular family. You and I have 1 year, 1 day, one life to surrender to God and to know that He would be at the center. How else would we want to live or survive? To know Him and to have Him connect us with others. Not so we get so isolated and say, well, Christ is so sufficient. It's just me and Jesus and no one else. But He sends us to give and receive from other people, to treat others like we want to be treated and to be a blessing to others. That's how we meet Him as we go about our everyday life. How might we put into practice that Jesus is the center, that He really is enough for us? If God asks us that question, is Jesus enough for you? When is He going to be enough? We can say, yes, He is. Yes, He is. Just some simple things that might be of help. That each moment and each day, confess the truth in your heart, perhaps quietly, verbally, if that helps you. Confess the truth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of your heart, your family life. You might not be able to see Him. Jesus is Lord of your church life. Sometimes you'll miss Him in all the good activity and things you enjoy. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord of health and sickness. He still reigns. Jesus is Lord of plenty and poverty. And sometimes we learn more of Him in poverty than in plenty, because we turn to Him in the sense of our own brokenness or spiritual desperation. Jesus is Lord in birth or in death. Who knows among us but God which little ones will be born physically and which people will be born from above in 2008. Now, that's one of my prayers, just to experience people meeting Christ. I know that's on your heart if you know Christ. He is Lord of each moment. Could you say that in your heart for the sake of your heart's health, for the sake of coming in touch with how things really are? And passing Him on to others. Oswald Chambers said, the one and only one who can satisfy the constant aching of a human heart. You know, we got aches. It's one of the things I ask folks maybe in the nursing homes. How's your aches and pains today? And some will share and some will say, no problem. I know that maybe they're being honest. But the one who can satisfy the constant aching of the human heart is Jesus the Lord. So I point you to Him for today, for the year, and for your life. And you'll find rest in Him. And then to begin each day, perhaps with a prayer, put this on your devotional habits. Lord, who do you want me to love, serve, or talk with today? If Christ is the center of every experience that you see coming down the road at you, Lord, who do you want me to talk to, love, or serve today? And that puts feet on your faith. You begin to reach out and touch people in ways that God can only plan. I know many of you are excited about that kind of experience. In the Old Testament, God's people were wondering how to get close to God. The book of Isaiah in chapter 58 tells us about that. They said the best things we know how to do is pray and fast. That'll get us close to God, and then we'll be really joyful about Him. And it's... praying and fasting are great gifts that we could put into practice. Put aside what we're doing, seeking God. But they prayed and fasted, and you know what God told them? You're still not interested in me. That's pretty much what He said. You're still not close to me after you prayed and fast. I would be frustrated at that point. God said, this is the kind of fast I want. Go out and help some people who are really, really hurting. Spend your life on those who are hungry. Hungry physically or spiritually. Give your life in service to them. I've often found whatever kind of day I'm having, I could be really grumpy and self-centered or missing the mark in a lot of ways. If I begin to say, that's a person who needs help, and reach out and serve in that manner, I find Christ, His energy again, His love, His grace in our lives. But put that into practice, the promise is when you do that, you'll be like a well-watered garden and a repair of broken walls. Sometimes the broken walls will be in your own heart. God will heal up because you're stopping to help others. sometimes the well-watered garden, God will refresh you personally, but also refresh other people. Centering life on Christ and seeing Him build His kingdom. Just to share a quote by Augustine that I think really honors the Lord and would speak to our hearts at the beginning of a new year. Having Christ be the supremacy in everything. Listen to this and just let God speak to your heart. The one who has Christ has everything. We need to just embrace Him in our hearts for every day. As desperate for Him as for daily life as we are for eternity. No heaven without Jesus. With Jesus, heaven and a meaningful life with Him. And then he says, the one who has everything except Christ has nothing. You might have a lot going for you. If you don't have Christ, there's emptiness. There's a spinning of the wheels and saying, sensing there's a waste of precious time going by. The one who has everything except Christ has nothing. You can meet all your goals this year, but if it's not centered in Christ, what good is it? And then he goes on to say this, the one who has Christ plus everything has no more than the one who does not have any more than the one who has Christ alone. In other words, if you have a lot of goals for the new year and you meet every one of those goals as a Christian, that would be tremendous. But you have nothing more than the one who has Christ and Christ alone. And didn't meet any goals. The things they thought were going to happen didn't happen. Christ is so powerful and wonderful. He could be everything to that person. Him alone could be peace and salvation and help. And as you and I, we just surrender our hearts to God at the beginning of a year. Might you say, Christ, be everything to me. If God asks you the question in your heart, when is Jesus ever going to be enough for you? You could say, today He could be enough for me. And teach me to confess that and experience that throughout my days of struggle and days of faith. Might we turn to God as we prepare for being with Him at the Lord's Supper. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank You for being a great Savior to us this morning and a wonderful Lord. And sometimes we can't see You very well, and we think that what we need is something else besides You. When all that we do experience and stumble through brings us back to You. And then there You are, the source of life, eternal life, and spiritual health in every way. I pray, Father, for anybody here today who has not received You. They'd simply say they have everything, but they don't have Christ. That they'd cry out to You and You'd bring a conversion from heaven to their heart. Lord, You've done it for many in the room. You could do it for any in the room. Anyone. They would simply say, Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. I turn from myself. I turn to You. Give them a new birth, Lord, that only You can give. But give them the desire for Yourself. And Father, I pray for each believer here that we would find You as our all in all. And rejoice in You with the strength that You can provide. And we would be totally amazed again at Your grace that You'd call us to Yourself. As we pray for people, Father, in preparation for communion, make us a blessing to them. We remember Ray Petticord, Kathy Bourne, Betty Kunkel, Adam and Krista Mueller, Bill and Janice Swope. We remember Millie recently experiencing a stroke. That Your kindness and grace would be with each one, with each heart here today. Hear our silent prayers, Father, as we come before You with a thanks to You for You, or perhaps with a sin problem that we know very well we can't conquer without Your sustaining grace, Your power to help us repent. Hear us as we just prepare silently for the Lord's table. Father, whatever the need or the hurt is, we just pray according to your word that we read. Might these things be reconciled to yourself through the blood of Christ. Somehow we embrace you as greater than what we're dealing with. Draw us close to yourself in communion and a blessing to those around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.